First Kings chapter 19. We'll read a couple of verses and then go to 2 Kings chapter 2. And I originally had intended to preach this message at a youth meeting, and the Lord kind of put it on my heart, so I'll preach it, and I hope you get something out of it. It'll be a help to you. It'll help me if it don't help anybody, so you put up with me, and you'll be a blessing to me. Let's pray. Father, thank you again for this time. I thank you now for the opportunity to preach again. Pray the Holy Spirit to be our guide, our teacher, our instructor. Reprove, rebuke, edify, strengthen, God, whatever's needed. I pray tonight you'll meet the needs of all these requests that have been mentioned. Lord, you know how they need to be answered. I pray you'll answer them according to thy will for your glory. And God, I just pray that more than anything else tonight, Jesus Christ will be exalted and lifted up. Thank you now again for the Lord Jesus Christ who died and rose again that we could have life. Lord, we love you. And I pray if there's any way you can work it out, you'll come today. I ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. I would like to make a prayer request. I just thought of it. A young lady, I've never met her, but I believe her name is Rachel Rumpfe. I think that's right. If it ain't, the Lord knows. It might be great googly moogly the way I hear, but she was in a real bad car wreck a couple of weeks ago and been in a coma ever since, and brain swelling, a lot of problems, and so I'm certain her family would appreciate you praying for her, and hopefully the Lord will give her back to her family. 1 Kings 19, look down toward the end of the chapter, and I'm preaching tonight on the subject of the mantle of Elijah. Verse 19 says, "So he departed thence," speaking of Elijah, "and he found Elisha, the son of Shaphat, who was plowing with 12 yoke of oxen before him, and he with the 12th. And Elijah passed by him and cast his mantle upon him. And he left the oxen, and he ran after Elijah and said, 'Let me, I pray thee, kiss my father and my mother, and then I will follow thee.' And he said unto him, 'Go back again, for what have I done to thee?' And he returned back from him and took a yoke of oxen and slew them and bore their flesh with the instruments of the oxen and gave unto the people, and they did eat. Then he arose and went after Elijah, and he ministered unto him." Now, hold your place there and turn to 2 Kings chapter 2. We'll just read several verses. And we'll just begin in verse 1. It says, "And it came to pass when the Lord would take Elijah into heaven by a whirlwind, that Elijah went with Elisha from Gilgal. And Elijah said unto Elisha, 'Tarry here, I pray thee, for the Lord hath sent me to Bethel.' And Elisha said unto him, 'As the Lord liveth, and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee.' So they went down to Bethel. And the sons of the prophets that were at Bethel came forth to Elisha and said unto him, 'Knowest thou that the Lord will take away thy master from thy head today?' And he said, 'Yea, I know it, hold you your peace.' And Elijah said unto him, 'Elisha, tarry here, I pray thee, for the Lord hath sent me to Jericho.' And he said, 'As the Lord liveth, and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee.' So they came to Jericho. And the sons of the prophets were at Jericho, came to Elisha, and said unto him, 'Knowest thou that the Lord will take away thy master from thy head today?' And he answered, 'Yea, I know it, hold ye your peace.'" Must be something to persevere in, wouldn't you think? "And so Elijah said to him, 'Tarry, I pray thee here, for the Lord hath sent me to Jordan.' And he said, 'As the Lord liveth, and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee.' And they two went on. And the 50 men of the sons of the prophets went and stood to view afar off. And they two stood by Jordan. And Elijah took his mantle and wrapped it together and smote the waters. And they were divided hither and thither, so that they two went over on dry ground. And it came to pass, when they were gone over, that Elijah said unto Elisha, 'Ask what I shall do for thee before I be taken from thee.' And Elisha said, 'I pray thee, let a double portion of thy spirit be upon me.'" And if you're going to get something from somebody, you need it before they're gone. There's no point in praying to a dead saint. They can't help you. It's before. If you need to tell somebody something, you need to tell them before they're gone. A lot of people regret a lot of their life because, "I wish I would have said, I wish I would have done before," and it's too late. And he said, thou hast asked a hard thing. Nevertheless, if thou see me when I am taken from thee, it shall be so unto thee. But if not, it shall not be so. And it came to pass that they still went on and talked, that behold, there appeared a chariot of fire and horses of fire, and parted them both asunder. And Elijah went up by a whirlwind into heaven. Now, it is a picture of the rapture, incidentally. I don't want to get off on that. That's a good subject, but I have read where there is, in the center of a tornado, there is a vacuum, and in a vacuum, there is no friction. You could move up and down at the speed of light without any problem. But Elisha saw it, and he cried, my father, the chariot of Israel, and the horsemen thereof. And he saw him no more, and he took hold of his own clothes and rent them in two pieces and took up the mantle of Elijah and fell from him and went back and stood by the bank of Jordan. And he took the mantle of Elijah that fell from him and smote the waters and said, where is the Lord God of Elijah? And when he also had smitten the waters, they parted hither and thither. And Elisha went over. And when the sons of the prophets, which were to view at Jericho, saw him, they said, the spirit of Elijah doth rest on Elisha. And they came to meet him and bowed themselves to the ground before him. So that pretty much is the story that I want to get to. But the mantle of Elijah is what put Elisha into the ministry, you might say. And to me, there's several things here that speak to me personally, so I hope you'll get something out of it as the Lord has dealt with me. But back in 1 Kings chapter 19, that's where we'll start, and we'll eventually get back to chapter 2 here. But I want you to notice just a few things, and I'll try not to bore you to tears. But notice, first of all, Elisha was busy when he was called. And I am absolutely convinced that God just generally don't use lazy people. I believe if you're going to do something for God, you're going to have to get some get up and go about you, some gumption, the old timers used to call it. You're just going to have to get some discipline. Hey, ain't that what a disciple is? I mean, ain't disciple and discipline, ain't that pretty close to the same word? I know this, when I was growing up, my mama taught me discipline with a stick. I was pretty rowdy. And the old timers, I don't know how they do it nowadays, I always whip my kids with a belt, and I did whip them. But my mama would say, if you got in trouble, she'd say, go out and get you a switch, and you better get a good one, and then you come back and I'll whip you. And so I'd go get me a switch. And I learned there ain't no point in getting one that's going to break in a hurry, because she'd just go get one and she'd really wear you out with it. But we had a bush that grew out in the front yard, didn't grow anything but switches. That's all I ever saw on that thing. So I'd go out and get me a switch, and man, we wore them out too. But she'd get you and she'd wear you out. And that was a way of teaching you discipline. Now, a lot of it took, a lot of it didn't. But she put the fear of God in me early. And I was pretty into my teens before I got enough nerve to backtalk my mama. But I know this. There came a point in my life that discipline that she drilled into me came to play. I didn't want to be responsible, really and truly. But I went in the Army. I thought when I got 18, I thought, I'm tired of mama telling me what to do. I'm going somewhere where I can do what I want. So I joined the Army. That's a big mistake. Because they tell you when to get up, when to go to bed, and what to eat, and when to eat, and how fast, and how much, and the whole works. And if you don't like it, they'll make you like it. So they taught me some discipline. But that stuff was just an extension of what my mama had put into me. Now, maybe you didn't have that. Maybe you weren't raised with any real discipline. I don't know how you were raised. I said last week, we all got a story. I don't know what yours is, but you got a story. And whatever God's done for you, you can relate that to somebody else. I mean, you may not have the testimony I've got, but there's somebody that's willing to listen to you if you'll tell them about Jesus Christ. They're interested. The problem is not with the sinners, it's with us opening our mouth and giving them the gospel. But discipline is something that's necessary. And this man, Elisha, was busy when God called him. He was not lazy. He was out here plowing with 12 yoke of oxen. Now imagine, that was a pretty difficult task. But the man was busy. He was doing something when God called him. Now there's folks all the time ask me, well, I just don't know what to do for God. Well, you know, the Bible tells you several things that you ought to be doing. And if you don't know specifically what it is God would have you to do, just be doing what God's already told you to do. You know you ought to pray. You know you ought to read your Bible. You know you ought to witness. You know you ought to be faithful in church attendance. You know there's a whole lot of things that just plain that God has laid out. And if you'll be faithful in what God's told you to do, then He will relate to you whatever it is He has in store for you. But I don't believe that God uses lazy people. I don't. I'm sorry. I don't like lazy people. I mean, I get out here on the job. I don't like lazy people. I don't. I can't take it. I mean, the guy's lazy. You ain't allowed, but I'd like to strangle him. I can't take it. I mean, if something needs to be done, do it. Don't stand there and look at me. Get to work. I can't take it. I mean, my kids, when they were growing up, I said, get to work. I told my son, go mow the yard. You better be getting that lawnmower cranked by the time it gets out of my mouth. And I meant it, and he knew it, and he cranked it, and he mowed it. My other son did the same. I mean, I don't like lazy people. I taught my kids to work. They all work. They've never had a problem getting a job or keeping a job. As far as I know, they've never been fired off a job. They work. They're supposed to. As far as I know, from their employers that I've talked with, they're dependable. They work. They do what they're told. They do their job, and they do it well. And God don't expect any less from you and I. That's hard, and I know that's deep, but think about it. Has God got something for you to do? Are you doing it? Are you doing it faithfully? Now listen, I know it gets old and wore out sometimes. Don't we all? I mean, you know, I've been involved in this jail ministry for 33 years. But the first 28 years that I was involved with it, I did it completely, entirely by myself, with no help. I preached to the men, I preached to the women. I'd preach 3 times a week at the jail. I did it every week, and I did it for 28 years without any backup, without any help. And I did it faithfully, and I didn't quit, and I didn't drop out, and I didn't run off. I did what God called me to do the way He told me to do it. And I don't like lazy people. I'm sorry. You pardon me. And I don't think God likes lazy people. If you're on the job, you ought to be the best worker out there. People ought not look at you and say, well, that guy claims to be saved. He goes to church, but he's lazy. Amen. That is a black eye on Jesus Christ. Amen. I'll amen myself on that one. That's good preaching if I say so myself. But this man was busy when he was called. The sluggard, the Bible says, will not plow by reason of the cold. Therefore shall he beg in harvest and have nothing. Yeah. Now, that's not hard to understand, is it?
No.
I mean, if you don't apply yourself, you know what's going to happen. Now, we all different. We all have different tasks. We all have different skills. I don't even know how to get on the internet. I don't even have to turn the computer on hardly. Some of y'all can just, you know... wear them out. I'm illiterate and don't care. I don't want to learn, don't want to know. I don't need the internet. I don't need a cell phone. I'm sorry, I don't. Don't offer them to me. Don't want them. I'm happy like I am. My old Strong's Concordance is all I need. I'm sorry. You can look up all you want on the internet. You can have it. And I ain't nothing wrong with it. I mean, as far as getting the information, there's plenty of it. And if you know how to do it, have at it. But I pray thee, have me excused. But some of you have those kind of skills and you're good at it. Thank God. You know, I believe Jesus Christ, before he began his public ministry, was a carpenter for 18 years. And I guarantee you, he didn't build no junk. Whatever he was doing, I guarantee you, he did a good job. And I believe he did the best job humanly as a man that he could do. I believe that. I don't believe he was lazy, and I don't believe he loafed around. I don't believe he slip-shucked his employer. I believe he done the job and done it well. And I don't believe he didn't expect any less of you and I. And when it comes to serving Jesus Christ, we ought to give our best. He gave his best for us. Now, is that not true? I don't think that's too much to ask. Some of you sitting in here tonight, I guarantee you, if you was like me, you've been out all night drinking and playing pool and cards and God knows what. Have you ever stayed up all night
reading your Bible and praying, or going street preaching and being gone like we used to go to Nashville, get back at 5 o'clock in the morning, take a shower, drink a pot of coffee, and go work 8 hours on the job. Amen.
One thing I learned about Dilbert Terry when I first met him, he wasn't lazy. He was still in high school. But he had a job, I had a job, Ray Howard had a job. When we began this street ministry as it is today, we worked 40 hours a week and we preached 40 hours a week. But I found out that guy was not lazy. And, I mean, that's enough for me, man. If a guy will work, I can get along with him. Amen. He may be, have bats in the belfry. But if he'll work, I can get along with him. Amen, brother. I'm telling you, I don't like lazy people. If you do, that's you have at it. I don't. Evil communications corrupt good manners. I've seen it on the job. I've seen a guy that worked like fighting fire all day, and you move him to another position with somebody that won't work, and it ain't long till he won't work.
Amen.
I've seen it firsthand. Now, I believe when God called Elisha, he knew he had a man that was dependable, that was working and would work. Now, if God called you, he had a reason for calling you. And whatever God called you to do, I'm sure he expects you to do it. So, Elisha was busy when he was called. Now, I don't believe God would have us be like the sluggard. I believe something needs to be done. I believe we ought to get after it.
Amen.
Amen. I mean, really. We can, buddy. Well, forgive me. Honestly, that's something that just wears me out. I cannot stand lazy people. I can't. I just can't take it. Anyhow, I'll move on. But your present condition, unless you make a decision to do something about it, will determine your future condition. I mean, you've read in Ecclesiastes how the tree falleth this way and that, and however the tree falleth, so shall it lay. And you know, I mean, if you're just content to sit and do nothing, then that's all you're ever going to do. Now, I'm not mad at you. I'm trying to tell you something that'll help you. I know we're living a day and time when if a guy gets up and preaches and he roars around and he beats on the table and he yells, everybody thinks he's mad. I'm not mad at anybody. I'm telling you something that'll help you.
Amen.
God don't like lazy people.
Amen.
Now, we ought to be after it. Man, I've been working 43 years. I don't know about you. I'm an old man, but it's probably showing too. I feel it a lot more today than I used to. I can't work like I used to work, but I've always worked. If I had a job, I worked. I wanted people to know that I was there every day on time, and every day I walked through the door, I'd give them a day's work.
Amen.
I didn't loaf. I didn't run around the building and try to get somebody else to do it for me. I did it. When I went to the coal mines, I went in that coal mine, and I gave them a day's work. The only break you got was for lunch, 30 minutes. You worked 8 hours. I mean, you worked all day, every day, and that's how it was.
Amen.
We're living in a time when everybody wants to work 30 minutes and break for 8 hours. But I'm talking about doing something for Jesus Christ, folks, honestly. Whatever the world does, it ought not determine what you and I are going to do for Jesus Christ. It's just too important. The world's on the road to hell, and you and I, honestly, can do something about it. Paul said, awake thou that sleepest, arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee life. I mean, we're in the last days, the last hours of this age. We ought to be doing everything we can do. Make that final charge, brother. The hill is about to be crested. We fought and we fought and we fought. And man, we are about to win the victory. Let's don't quit now. Let's gird up our loins. Let's raise the banner high. And let's take that hill for Jesus Christ. Whew, you pardon me. I might have to go outside and just shout a while. That's good to be saved, ain't it? My soul. People, man, I ain't mad at you. Honestly, I ain't. I love you. You may not believe that, but I really do. Scary, isn't it? It's what my kids always said. You're a madman. No, ain't really. I really love you, son. This is going to hurt me worse than you. My mama used to tell me that. And I said, I don't see how in the world it can hurt her worse than me. I'm the one getting the stripes. Well, Elisha was busy when God called him. I mean, he was plowing with 12 yoke of oxen, and God came by and said, all right, I got a job for you. And you notice it was voluntary. He wasn't forced. He said to Elijah, he said, oh, well, let me go back and kiss my father. He said, I'll come and follow you. And he said, well, what have I done to you? Go. I mean, it's up to you, big boy. I mean, free will. Yeah. But you ought to make your mind up to do something for Jesus Christ. I mean, if he loved you enough to die on the cross and pay for your sins with his own blood, then you ought to be willing to do something for him. So Elisha was busy when he was called. Now notice secondly, Elisha was chosen to succeed a great man. And I look around, I mean, we got some great men in this church. I really believe that. I mean, when you get to looking at the different ministries that go on here, it's not just men. I know we got a lot of great women too. And I mean, we kind of throw out a blanket situation here, but I mean, I'm talking to all believers. But we got a lot of folks in here that, I mean, that just, I mean, have sacrificed for the Lord Jesus Christ a lot more than some of you have ever realized. They have no idea. I mean, people, they think the street ministry is just, you know, stirring up trouble and harassing people. They have no idea really what's going on. They don't. The world don't. That's why we don't pay them no mind. We do what God told us to do. I mean, we know where they're headed, and we know what the cure is. But you look around, he was chosen to succeed a great man. Elijah came in like a tornado, and he went out by a whirlwind. I mean, you talk about a ministry. Man, the first time you see that guy, he's just, here he comes, boy. I mean, like a lion out of nowhere, and he just gives Ahab a fit. And then he shows up here with a contest on the mountain with the false prophets and prays a 63-word prayer, and the fire of God comes down. And I mean, the people, man, they ain't no doubt who the God is. And the next thing you know, he's going out, man. He's gone. Whirlwind takes him out of here. I mean, he came in like a tornado and went out like a whirlwind. Boy, I mean, what a ministry. Amen. And then here's Elisha going to take his place. Well, I look around. Who's going to take the place of all the folks here that are doing all that's being done? I mean, you got folks working with young people, teaching classes, going to youth camp, the street ministry, the jail ministry. I mean, all this stuff that's going on, who's going to succeed them? I mean, some of us guys are getting to be old geezers. I mean, really. I know if the Lord don't come, I know this. Eventually, I'm going to be picking turnips with a stepladder. And I hope there's somebody that will step in and take my radio broadcast and say, ah, you dirty bunch of rascals, you need to get right with God. I mean, really. Just roar like a lion, man. You don't hear stuff like that anymore, do you? I mean, honestly, you turn on TBN, and I was watching Rod Parsley, you know, and I mean, you know, God's about to release, just release, you know, and I thought, well, all you're releasing is hot air, man. I mean, hey, where do you hear some real Bible, King James Bible preaching on that stuff? I mean, honestly, you ain't going to get it. Now, you get around here locally in Scott County, you'll hear a lot of it. I mean, honestly, I'm thankful that we have what we have in this area. But honestly, folks, there's going to have to be some folks step up and get involved and get trained. I mean, that's a whole lot of what we're trying to do here with all these classes and the preaching and the things that's going on. We're trying to encourage some folks, hey, get your feet wet, get involved. Learn and see what's going on and be able to, when you know, step in. I'm certain God has some stuff for some folks to do if they just do it. I really believe that. I mean, there's a lot more involved in these jail ministries than the number of people working in it can keep up with it. I mean, really, you could preach in a different jail every day if you had that, if you was able to do it. I'm not able. I can't. I mean, honestly, I just physically, I can't do it anymore. I preach over here on Monday night. I usually preach four different messages every Monday night. I go in four different cell blocks. I preach four different messages. And I mean, it gets tiresome after a while. I can't imagine doing it every day in a different jail, but it's available. And I mean, that's just one idea. There's all kinds of stuff that can be done if folks would just get involved. So he was chosen to succeed a great man. Elijah certainly was a great man. And so he goes and he follows Elijah. He ministers to him. And if my calculations are correct, before the Lord took Elijah up, he ministered to him for about 10 years. I mean, it's a pretty good stretch there that he was being trained to step into the shoes of this man. I mean, you look at Joshua. I mean, you go back and read it. And when Moses went up on the mount, there was a fellow went up there with him. His name was Joshua. I mean, every time you see Joshua, he's fighting somebody. I mean, you just imagine being Mrs. Joshua. I mean, every day. I mean, I wonder if he's coming home today. I mean, they're out there fighting again. I mean, what a way to live, man. What a way to live. But that guy, I mean, the Lord was preparing Joshua to step into the shoes of a pretty good, pretty big man. I mean, Moses, pretty big man. So Elisha was about to step into the shoes of a big man. Now notice the necessity of hard work daily. Now I'll wear you out with this, I'm sure, before I get done. But you know the Bible says if a man won't work, he shouldn't eat either. And I do believe that. I really believe that. I believe this Occupy whatever bunch, I believe they're a bunch of lazy, loathsome socialists that they want those of us that'll work to give them a handout. And as far as I'm concerned, they ought to gather every one of them up and put them on a flotilla and send them to Cuba.
Yeah.
If they like socialism so good, let them go down there and live for a while, see how they like it. But I mean, I work and I pay in my Social Security. I'll tell you something else. Obama got up and said Social Security is an entitlement. He's a liar. It's not an entitlement. I've been paying Social Security for 43 years. It's not an entitlement that the government can give and take anytime they feel like it. I have earned whatever I've got coming to me.
Come on, brother.
That's right. He can take his entitlement and go jump in the lake of fire with the rest of that bunch of camel jockeys. Amen. That's right. If you see him, tell him I said so. I don't know who was shooting at the White House, but they missed. But honestly, folks, there ought to be some hard work involved in you and I. And I'm talking about in spiritual matters. You know, if you labor in word and doctrine, you're worthy of double honor, the Bible says. There's people in this church, I know from talking with them, that labor in word and doctrine. I mean, they labor it. They know the Scripture. If you need some answers, they can give them to you. I mean, really, we ought to be able to do it. I mean, if the world can't get it from us, where are they going to get it? We ought to know something about the Word of God. And there's work involved. You're not going to learn the Scripture. People think, well, I got saved, now everything's fine. And the Lord don't just open your head and tamp it full. I mean, brother, you got to read it and study it and search it and memorize it. And yeah, there's a lot of labor involved in it. And the Bible says much study is a weariness of the flesh. It's tiresome, but that's where discipline comes in. I don't care if you are tired, you read it anyhow. I get up every morning, I read my Bible. I've done it for 36 years. I train myself to do that. And there's plenty of days I don't feel like doing it. I get up, my back hurts and my knees hurt and my head hurts. And I just go to my desk and sit down and crank it up and go to reading. I mean, I just do it. Ain't that Nike? Just do it. I mean, wouldn't it be something if a professional athlete getting paid millions and millions of dollars to play a game is more dedicated than you and I? I mean, I thought about that. Jack was talking about Kareem Abdul-Jabbar here one night and how many times he practiced shooting that big sky hook. How many ever, 1,000 shots a day or something, whatever it was. Man, just astronomical amount. And the guy just determined, I am going to practice and I'm going to do this until I got it. Yeah. And you see where it put him. And he getting paid millions of dollars to play a game. And here what we're doing, honestly, what we're doing is eternal. Yeah. Every soul you lead to Jesus Christ is for eternity. Yeah. I mean, you think about that. I don't know about you, but I've got spiritual children spiritual grandchildren, spiritual great-grandchildren, and it goes right on, I don't know how many. I'm not going to the judgment empty-handed.
Amen.
I made my mind up when God saved me. I'm taking somebody with me. Now, you may not be outgoing. I mean, there's a lot of folks that's reserved and bashful, and honestly, you feel like you're almost offending people to witness to them. But you ought to do it. You ought to do it. If nothing else, give them a gospel tract. You can do that much. But don't go home empty-handed. God expects us to do something. The Bible says that you study to be quiet and to do your own business and to work with your own hands as we commanded you. I believe God expects us to work. I really do. I believe it's necessary. And it's not just physical things. We know we ought to work to have a living. I mean, I don't expect a handout. I don't believe that the government can take better care of me than what the Lord Jesus Christ can.
Amen.
But I believe God expects us to work as long as we're able. If you're not able, then you're not able. God knows that. There are folks that are disabled, and He, in the book, gives you what you ought to do to take care of them. I'm not against that.
Amen.
But there is necessary that you and I work in the Scripture, in the church, for the Lord Jesus Christ. I believe there's a blessing that goes along with hard work.
Amen.
And there's something about just accomplishing a task and finishing a task. I mean, to me, it's just satisfactory. I cannot stand to start something and not finish it. I just can't take it. I don't care what it is. If it takes me all night, I'll stay with it till I finish. I just cannot stand to start something and have to quit. I just can't take it. I think it was Bob Jones Sr. that said, finish the job. I believe that. My kids, when they were growing up and going to school, they wanted to play football, they wanted to play baseball, they wanted to play softball and all this stuff. And I love sports. I played myself. And just in case you didn't know it, I went to school to Oneida. And we beat Huntsville, we beat Robbins, and we beat Norma. Yes, sir. Oh, well, I thought I'd throw that in there. It doesn't kill the service here, eh? Anyhow, I told my kids there's only one rule. One rule and one rule only. If you start, you're going to finish. If you ain't good enough to play and you got to ride the bench, you're not quitting. You're not getting mad at the coach and sitting on the bench. I don't care if you think he's an idiot and don't know what he's doing. If he says you're not starting, you're riding the bench, you're going to play, you're going to finish.
Amen.
And that was the only rule I ever had. And they finished, and they've never had a problem getting a job or keeping a job. If you learn to finish what you start when it comes to the Lord Jesus Christ, you'll amount to something. You can be a soul winner.
Amen.
I mean, you just apply yourself. Just make your mind up, I'm going to do it, and then do it. Now notice, the Bible says this in the book of Proverbs. There's much in the Proverbs. In all labor there's profit, but the talk of the lips tendeth only to penury. Extreme poverty. Anybody can talk a good fight. It's another thing to get in the middle of it. And you always got 24 armchair pastors that know how the preacher should have done it. That's easy to say when you're sitting back there and you ain't the one bearing the burden. And that's true of anything you do. I mean, I work out here at Great Dane. I got promoted to supervisor. I don't know how, but I'm thankful. And I try to do the best I know how to do. But there's always 24 people that know so much better how I ought to do it, and they try to do it for me. And we have struggles with that all the time. But they just know so much more about it, and none of them's ever built a trailer.
Yeah.
Ain't that wild? I mean, it just baffles me how you can know all this stuff when you've never even actually sat down and done it. But that's what you get into. But there is the blessing of working hard. I mean, first of all, I'm glad I'm able. I'm glad at 59, nearly 60, I'm glad I'm still able to go to the job and reach and get it. I'm still able to put them big tires on them trailers. I'm still able to do it. I'm still able to put up the airlines and the wiring and whatever needs to go on it. I'm still able to do it, and I'm glad I can. I know people my age that are bedridden, nursing homes and everything else, and they'll tell you, man, I wish I could do something. Now, ain't that something if people, when it comes to serving Jesus Christ and they're healthy and they're able,
right,
and they're just sitting around doing nothing,
right,
and the old geezers are having to carry the load, For the most part, it's a small percentage, the number of people that do the work in any church. I mean, that's just a fact. You have a small percentage. I mean, you go back to Gideon. I mean, 22,000 cowards. And he wound up with 300 men to do the work. Now, God used him anyhow. But you think about that. And that's pretty much the way it is in churches nowadays. You can only get a handful of folks together to get it done. I mean, but you still got to get it done. I mean, the Lord expects us to apply ourselves. The Bible says the sleep of a laboring man is sweet, whether he eat little or much. But the abundance of the rich will not suffer him to sleep. Wasn't that the truth? You work hard all day. There's just a satisfaction in that, man. You go home, you eat supper. You can go to bed and just sleep like a baby. You ain't worried. I mean, you ain't got a whole lot of junk for anybody to steal anyhow. But, I mean, God expects it. There's the blessings of working hard. It's good for your character. I don't have time to go into all the scriptures. You go through Proverbs. There's much to be said about hard work and character and it going together. And, I mean, you ought to be very dependable. And it's not just physically, it's intellectually, I mean spiritually. You want to learn the Word of God, you're going to have to apply yourself. You're going to have to read it. You're going to have to study it. You're going to have to spend time running references and reading commentaries. And yeah, I mean, there's a lot involved in learning the book. It don't just jump out on you and grab you. I believe there's a necessity of starting early. Abraham had a habit of getting up early. If you lay around the bed till dinner time, you ain't going to get nothing accomplished. Now, you may do that once in a while. But I tell you, my kids, they come in from school, and like Mark, he went to college. He'd come in from college, he'd want to sleep all day. Man, I'd get him out of the bed. I'd get out of that bed, man. You ain't sleeping all day. Oh, no, this ain't college, big boy. No, sir, you're going to get up and you're going to come home. With, I don't care if you're just going to set all day. You're going to get up early and set. But there's something to getting up. I mean, getting motivated and getting moving around. Abraham, he got up early. I mean, he had a habit of getting up early. And God blessed him for it.
Amen.
And I'll say this, a season lost is gone forever. That's why God said, redeem the time, the days are evil. You lose it, you can't get it back. If you don't apply yourself, you're hurting your own self. You're cutting your own throat. Too late. Too late. I had a man tell me, I'll probably be one of them that waits too late. I witnessed to him, begged and pleaded with him, get saved, and that's the last thing he ever said to me. I'll probably be one of them that waits too late. And I preached his funeral. Now, I don't know what took place in between the time I talked to him then, and because it was a couple of months period, and I hope he got saved. I really do. And I heard he did, and I hope that's true. But too late. Sad word, sad. Well, notice thirdly, Elisha sacrificed as he began his service. So it will cost you something to serve the Lord Jesus Christ. It really will. Now, evidently, this is not a very popular message. I might should have saved it for the young people. But honestly, folks, it'll cost you to serve the Lord Jesus Christ. It'll cost you some time. It'll cost you some strength, some effort. It may even cost you some money. And I know you start getting in the billfold, you're getting next to the heart. I mean, that's what old String Bean used to say. Kept them letters right next to his heart, 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 heart. But it will cost you. Elisha sacrificed when he began his service. The Apostle Paul did. I won't have time to go into all that. I won't take time to go into it, but it involves preparation. Read Galatians chapter 1. Paul spent some time, 3 years on the backside of the desert and God revealing things to him. He knew the scripture. He was a Pharisee of the Pharisees.
Yeah.
And had as much education as any neurosurgeons you'll ever run into. And God spent about 3 years teaching him all kinds of revelations about the grace of God and some other things.
Yeah.
And Paul, he applied himself. And God used him. And I mean, there's involves preparation. It don't just happen. Praying and studying the Word of God, we preach on that and harp on that all the time, but it is very important.
Amen.
And it is something you have to train yourself to do.
Amen.
Pray without ceasing. I mean, you pray about everything. You ought to. The easy road is usually the wrong road. Isn't that true? I mean, usually that's generally true. The easy road is usually the wrong road. Anything worthwhile, there's going to be some toil and some labor and some sacrifice involved in it. You raise your kids, isn't that the way it is? There's a lot of sacrifice involved raising your kids. You parents, and you know I'm telling you the truth, if you're raising kids, you're going to do without stuff you'd like to have because they need shoes and clothes and school junk, and you just sacrifice for them because they're your children. You love them. And so, I mean, if we're going to do something for Jesus Christ, it'll cost us a little bit of something. And Elisha sacrificed when he began his service. D.L. Moody said this, "The measure of man is not how many servants he has, but how many men he serves." Boy, ain't that the truth? I mean, really. Nowadays, it's all about me and mine and self. And I saw some nut on one of these talk shows just this week. "Well, my problem is the way I was raised. My daddy, he was mean to me and he abused me, and that's why I steal and do." Why, you lying rascal, you. You steal because you're a thief. That's what.
Amen.
That's your problem. Your daddy should have beat the fire out of you. That's what you needed. But everybody wants to blame somebody. It's me, and it's all about me and my feelings, and oh, poor me, and you know. Well, I don't like that preacher. He's too loud, and I don't like that preacher. He's too mean. He talks too plain. He's too rude. And that's the way we are. It's all about what I want and what I like, and the Lord don't even seem to figure in it. What does God want? I mean, really. He ought to be deciding where we go to church and who we listen to. Yeah, really. I mean, that's the way it ought to be. Well, Elisha was commissioned and challenged. I'm just running through this. I'm about done. I know y'all are shocked. It's Wednesday night. And this ain't one of them make you want to shout and run around the building messages anyhow. So it's like a roll of bologna. You can just cut it off anywhere. Elisha was commissioned and challenged. And he voluntarily took up the mantle. And he got a double portion. Now, that's an amazing thing to me. I don't know how God did that, but I know he did. If you read on from there in Elisha's life, look at the miracles he performed. But he had the power of God. And Jesus Christ said to you and I, "Without me, ye can do nothing." And I think there's so much done in the energy of the flesh. We neglect praying. We neglect getting God involved. And then we wonder why it's a blowout and we ain't seeing any results. And I mean, I started preaching back over here to jail on a regular basis, and I had the attitude of Jonah. I'd Lord burn them up, kill them all. And I mean, right off the reel, had three people saved. And oh, well, I guess, Lord, you're the one who does it anyhow. I mean, really, that's just the way it works. It don't depend on me. I mean, sometimes I don't have the best attitude about things. I know me better than anybody. But I know this, my God is still in the life-changing business, and if you're interested, he's interested.
Yeah.
Now, if you're willing to take up the mantle, God's willing to use you. Anybody. I mean, you look around at the people God has called and used. I mean, you read church history, and I read some of these sermons of Spurgeon and some of these guys, and I read that sermon, and I think, well, man, I hear better preaching than that every Sunday. But God just used them in a mighty way. And it all goes back to right in here. I mean, it really does. The powers of God. And I mean, man, we get ourselves in a position. God will use us. He took it up voluntarily. He received power. And I mean, it belongs to God according to the Scripture. And he can give it to whosoever he wants to. And this man got a double portion. David said his desire was to dwell in the house of the Lord, I mean, forever. And I'm pretty sure he'll get that prayer answered. Well, and I'm going to shut up right here. Last of all, he was used of God. We read it in 2 Kings. I won't go back to it, but I said I would. But I'm done, you're done, we're all done. And the fact is, do something for Jesus Christ. I know I've been kind of hard on you tonight, but truthfully, just make your mind up, man. Get in the fight. Don't spend all your life wandering around, well, and you know, just get in, man. If you don't know what God wants you to do, He'll show you. I promise you. He's not interested in you wandering around not knowing. He is interested in you knowing and doing what He's got for you to do. So the thing to do is just get in, get in the fight. I mean, I personally, speaking for myself, I do not want to meet the Lord empty-handed.
Amen.
I don't. I've told this story before, but I'll tell it again, and I'll close right here. When I first got saved, Don Cook here, I thank God for him. He's been a blessing to me for a lot of years. First man I ever met that asked me if I was saved or not. And I lied to him and said I was. But then when I got saved, I got next to him because he just seemed to have something, you know. And he's the first fellow I ever seen take a Bible and show somebody how to get saved. And I just observed it and I thought, well, man, I can do that. And so I just began to go out and witness to people. But he told me one day, he said, there's this preacher I need you to go hear. And I said, all right. I've never been around preaching or preachers. I know absolutely nothing about anything. I ain't been saved long enough, you know. I mean, if you'd stuck me in the ground, I'd have rooted. I was great. And so we went over to this church over here in Powell, Clinton, somewhere. And there's some little old bald-headed man up there, and his suit looked like it was about three sizes too big. And everybody was talking about this great man of God. And I looked at him, I thought, why baloney? That guy? I mean, really? I mean, I just come out of the beer joints and being a barroom brawler and a street fighter, and I thought a real man was somebody that could drink liquor and smoke weed and fist fight and, you know, wreck cars and all that kind of nonsense. And this old man got up there, and when he began to preach, I'm going to tell you something, he was a great man. Now, his name was Lester Roloff. Now, the Lord took him on home sometime later. But he got up and sang a song, Must I Go and Empty-Handed? It's in the songbook. You ought to read it. You ought to memorize it. But when he sung that, I made my mind up right then and right there. I am not going home empty-handed.
Amen.
And I ain't done as much as I should or could, but I know this. I ain't going home empty-handed. I've got 33 years of street preaching, jail ministry, radio preaching, you name it, visitation.
Yeah.
And I ain't to catch me out by any stretch of the imagination, but I ain't going home empty-handed.
Amen.
Now, if you're sitting here and you got a stronger pedigree than that, more power to you. I'm thankful for you. But there ain't a whole lot of them I have to take a back seat to. Amen and amen. I'll say amen to that.
Amen.
Let's pray. Father, thank you again for this time. I thank you for these that have come out. God, you know my heart. I didn't intend to be rude or crude. I didn't intend to insult them, hurt their feelings, or anything else. God, I know how people think. But Lord, you know my heart. And my desire tonight was to be a help to folks, to encourage them, to stir them up, to do something for Jesus Christ. God, I pray they will. I pray, God, you'll move upon the hearts. You know what it is you'd have us do. I pray you'll move upon us to do it. Thank you now again for Jesus Christ who died and rose again that we can have life. Lord, I do love you. I'm thankful that you saved me and called me to preach and gave me something to do. God, I'd hate to wander around. And Lord, I do not want to go home empty-handed. And I hope tonight somebody will make their mind up. I'm not going home empty-handed. I'm going to do something for Jesus Christ. God, I pray that'll happen. Now, Lord, you have your way. More than anything else, glorify Jesus Christ. Lift him up, for he's worthy. Thank you, Lord, for your many blessings. I ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen and amen. That's all.